A few years ago, I was at an art gallery at a retirement community for pastors and missionaries and theologians, similar to the one by Grinnell. What's that one called?
Mayflower House.
So similar to the Mayflower House. So this was an art gallery in this retirement community for religious types. So no surprise, a lot of the art was religious. And so I'm going through the gallery, and I get to this, I think it was probably a woodcut print. So, you know, someone had carved wood and then put paint on the wood and did an impression on the paper. And so it was this cream-colored paper. It was about this big, and the ink was in black. And it was a picture of a male preacher who was bald at his pulpit like this. So he looked kind of like a Muppet, just. And all around him, it said, words, 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 words. It didn't have a sermon, right? It didn't have full sentences. It just said, words, 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 words. And I thought, well, the message of the artist must be that there's no substance to his sermon, right? It's just a bunch of blather. It's just a bunch of words. And I about busted a gut laughing because pastors really need to not take themselves too seriously. We need to laugh at ourselves. But also because I could relate to that feeling of words, 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 words. When I'm having a hard time finding a sermon, which is most of the time, if someone asks me, well, you know, tell me what it's about and I'll help you along. It might be Katie or it might be Pastor Hannah, it might be Carla. More often than not, I'm probably likely to say, well, I don't know, blah, 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 Jesus, blah. In other words, I'm having a hard time finding the words to say what I'm feeling and sensing about this passage and how it connects God and us. I know that there's truth in Jesus, but the words are failing me today. But as Christians, how often do we hold really tightly to specific words? We hold tight to specific words in the Lord's Prayer. Sins, debts, or trespasses? Who here is a forgive us our sins person? Oh, just a couple. How many forgive us our debts? Oh, more. Okay, and trespasses. Now, how many of you, when you're in a situation where they're using the word you don't prefer, you're still going to use your word? I'm not saying trespasses. You might have printed it. I'm not saying it. I'm going to say debts. But which is it? You know, which is the right word? Which is the word that Jesus, when he gave us the prayer, wanted us to say? So, of course, our Bible does not make this easy, does not make answering this easy. As is the case in so many places in our holy collection, we get two versions. We have two versions of the Lord's Prayer in Scripture. We have it in Matthew, and we have it in Luke. In Matthew's version, up until that point, Jesus has been born. He survived all the violences of Herod. He got baptized out in the river, and then he went into the wilderness, and he was tempted by the forces of non-being. And then he came out, and when he came out of the wilderness, he started to call his disciples and to travel all across the land, teaching and preaching and sharing some good news. And it must have been good news because we hear that the crowds just swelled. So many people were following him that he had to go up to the top of a mountain to keep teaching so that people could still see and hear him. And on that mountain, he begins what we know as the Beatitudes, the Blessed Are's. Blessed are the peacemakers. After the Beatitudes, he goes right into a long conversation about their own Jewish religious tradition and his new interpretation of what their stories have to tell them. Then at the beginning of what we call chapter 6, Jesus offers a warning. He offers a warning about public displays of faith. He says, do not be pious for attention. Do not be pious for attention, for that is just a prayer to your own ego. That's a prayer to your own ego, not a prayer to God. Pray in private. pray privately in an act of sincere communion with the divine. And then he gives the Lord's Prayer. And after that, he just continues his lecture. He continues right on with his lessons about how to live as a faithful person. So this prayer that has now become so universal and so singular is actually just part of a very large discourse about a life of faith. It's just one part of this huge lesson from the mountain. The context in Luke is a little bit different. In Luke, Jesus has just gotten done telling the story of the Good Samaritan. You're going to hear a lot about the Good Samaritan this fall because it's part of our stewardship campaign. He's then visited the sisters Mary and Martha. That's where we get the story about being busy or staying with God. And then it says, suddenly he was praying in a certain place. He was praying in a certain place. And an anonymous disciple says, Lord, tell us how to pray. Jesus gives them the Lord's Prayer in that moment, and then a story about God's generosity and how God's generosity is always more bountiful than our generosity. So the Lord's Prayer in Luke, it stands out a little more than it does in Matthew. It's independent of this larger lesson. It's there on its own. And Jesus actually explains what it means in Luke. In Luke, he says, this is a prayer to the God who will always give, and give in ways that you cannot expect, so present yourself to God. But when I read it, and it says, well, this anonymous disciple asked how to pray, I wonder, well, would Jesus have told us? If Jesus hadn't been asked, would he have told us how to pray? Or is that anonymous disciple asking us? Is that us saying, Jesus, how do we pray? So which one is more authoritative? Which one will answer the question for us of sins, debts, and trespasses? Matthew is older. The written version of Matthew is older. That doesn't mean it's right. So you know this. In the decades after the Easter mystery, groups gathered around the different disciples. There were communities of Matthew, communities of Mark, Luke, and John, and then the disciples who didn't make it into the Bible. Matthew's community happened to get it written down first, or at least theirs is the oldest version we found so far. But again, that doesn't make it any more authoritative because of the oral traditions that are the basis for all the Gospels, all have the same genesis, which is an encounter with Jesus Christ. So having shared all this learning, I now feel like that preacher. Words, words, words. It just feels like words, words, words. In a time of so much violence and so much death, stress, economic failure, worries about, I felt an earthquake in Iowa yesterday, people. I just left California to avoid that. In a time like this, and as interesting and compelling as this information is, does knowing biblical history and translation and transmission, does it make us any more committed in our hearts and our daily life to praying this prayer privately and to trusting that we can do what it asks of us? Does knowing all this interesting information help commit us to the prayer and trusting what Jesus says is true in it? So let me ask you. Part of the prayer says, let earth be as it is in heaven. What do you need? Like really, what do you need from God and from this community to make this earth more heavenly? Off the top of your head, what do you need in your daily life to help make the earth more heavenly? I am prepared to call on you. Carol. Kindness will allow you. Kindness itself is a quality of heaven. And the kindness you receive is kindness that you are able to then pass on? And does not kindness make the world more heavenly? Peace. What kind of peace, Diane? Any kind we can get. Any kind we can get, even for a moment. The prayer says, give us this day our daily bread. So that's a reference to which story in the Hebrew Bible? I'm going to call on someone from Bible study pretty soon here. Coming out of Egypt. It's the manna. It's a request for that manna. And what are the qualities of manna? We receive it once a day, just what we need for that day, and we cannot hoard it overnight. What do you need to receive from God daily? What do you receive from God daily that gets you through this day? Maybe you don't have manna in your life right now. If you are feeling like you are bereft in a desert, you're not alone. It can be hard to receive manna from heaven, to see it coming. Have you ever intentionally and directly forgiven somebody? Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Who can remember a time when you have forgiven someone and told them so? Forgiveness is hard. Sharon did a little tiny, she did a little tiny hand. Yep. So what evils tempt you? That little part that we add on the end, deliver us from evil. What evils are tempting you? I'm tempted to just disengage. I am tempted not to read the news. I am tempted not to borrow anyone else's trouble. I am tempted to find the happy sunshine place. This prayer is more than mere words. This prayer is more than mere words. It is spiritual fortitude, and it is practical tasks. This prayer is like a guidepost to a place that we will never arrive at, and yet we can still see through a mirror dimly. This prayer is the beginning of language. It's the beginning of language with God, but it's language that can only reveal its truth when we are actively talking to God. The choice of the church fathers and the translators to do debts, sin, and trespasses, that's interpretation. That's an interpretive choice that they are making. It's their interpretation of what the old written language said and what they think Jesus might have meant. But it's all just words, words, words if it isn't partnered with a posture of prayer. And as Pastor Hannah said, you can take any posture to be in prayer. So it's on you and it's on each of us to go to God and ask for the word that we need to stay on that way of Christ, to ask God for the word that keeps us following the man to the mountaintop. If it's sin, say so. If you have been trespassed against, use that, name that. And if you have actually been forgiven a debt, then you are blessed among us. And when the words fail, because words always eventually fail, remain in silence. Remain in silent prayer to God. Because in the noisy din of our world today, God will be grateful for a chance to be heard, and the word you receive will be good. Amen.